room with you, I have so many fond memories of this church. I really do. And the friendship and fellowship with Brother Hobbs just fills up my mind. Wonderful, wonderful memories. And I can just close my eyes and see him sitting here in his favorite chair with a big smile on his face, enjoying services that we were in. And I did have the privilege of teaching in the Bible Institute for what, a couple of years, 3 years, whatever. Had good times in that. And I always know something about Baptists. You remember anything about those times? Every, it's Monday night, wasn't it? Thursday night, Monday night? We always ate longer than we taught, didn't we? That's a Baptist principle. But we never took an offering, did we? Anyway, we want to read our text, and I do apologize. I usually never practice running off from a meeting, but with my health and everything, I'll have to travel down to Richmond tonight and rest up and get ready for tomorrow. And I'll tell you, people that are not preachers, you don't know this, but I use it to get sympathy, and the preachers can use it to get sympathy from your wives. Did you know that 1 hour in the pulpit is equivalent to 8 hours hard labor on your system, mentally and physically? And so I'm going to go a half an hour, and that's only 4 hours labor. I'll have sympathy on you. Verse 1 through 6, Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass. Are you saved tonight? God saved you. He has a purpose for your life. You're in his divine providence. And tonight, this afternoon, it's coming to pass right on his timeline, right on his schedule. And you know, if we could realize that, how blessed our lives would be. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. And when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Look in verse 5, just one little phrase. Nevertheless, at thy word. What is Simon Peter saying? Lord, we've fished all night, yet if you say the word, we're going to do what you say. Remember at the wedding of Cana, Jesus came and they'd run out of grape juice. Welch's grape juice. You're laughing at that. I've heard these liberal, they call themselves Baptist preachers. Oh, God wouldn't make wine. That's good old Welch's grape juice. No, it's wine. It's wine. Amen. They're Bible-believing fundamental Baptists, except when it don't fit their philosophy.
Right.
They don't have any wine, they said to his mother. And he says, she says to her son, they had no wine. And he said, my time has not yet come. It's not time for me to begin my ministry. And she made a statement. To me, one of the great statements of the Word of God is found in that scripture, and it was made by a woman, by the way. Don't discount women in your life and in your ministry. My wife never did preach, but she did love teaching to me. We was in a restaurant here a while back, and this little girl was about 18 years old, waitress, come around. And I was praying when she came up to the table, thanking God for the food that was going to eat. And she waited and got finished, and she looked at me and told me, you know, all of her gray hair and wrinkles and everything. She said, "I bet you've been married a long time, haven't you?" I said, "Yeah, 52 years. She said, "My." I said, "Are you married?" She said, "Not yet." I said, "I'll tell you, if you get married, how to be married as long as we have. Just find you a husband that will do like me. I just do everything she says." Can your husband say, I didn't hear amen to that. Some men are not honest, though.
Okay.
But anyway, what did she say? "Whatever he says unto you, do it."
Amen.
Peter says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, understand what he's saying. That God's word is a continual truth. Whatever he says, do it. And once he says, I'm going to do it over and over and over again." We can't find ways and means, and some churches have ways and means committees, like the federal government, and they find ways and means that will improve on God's ways and means.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. I did this, and this is the results I had. That's right. Not what God's results were. Let's say this is the results I had. And I'll say, "I know that." "Oh, you knew that?" "Yeah." God gives results. They're good results. They don't die on the vine. But anyway, it's a continual truth. Scriptures lay to rest the modern day lie that our King James Bibles are outdated, are not relevant for today's thinking. What is the scripture? 2 Peter 1:12. If you want to turn there. Underline that in your Bible, and I'll make reference to what I want us to really see in this scripture. Peter, by the inspiration of God, said this, and it's recorded in our canon scriptures. "Therefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Man was preaching, got a little girl, and he got through preaching, and people said it went right over their heads, and nobody made comment. And on the way home, he was talking about some, they couldn't understand what I was saying. They didn't get it. And the daughter says this, she's about 10, 11 years old. She said, "Dad, don't worry, the problem is not you, it's them. They've never been taught." She said, "I understood, because you teach me the Word of God, the church teaches me the Word of God, I know what you were saying." You know what the truth he was preaching was? That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is the same.
Yeah.
He's preaching on their oneness. And anyway, it's relevant to be put always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. You know what I've been doing for the last 48 years? I've been preaching over and over and over and over, and here I am tonight going over the same truths that I preached for 48 years. And I'm going to show you why. And be established, and here it is, in the present truth.
Yes.
You know, when Peter said this, and they wrote it down and put it in their canon scriptures, then it was the present truth of that day. Back during the Reformation, when thousands upon top of thousands of Baptists were being martyred, it was the present truth then. Then you had men like Spurgeon and all those men that you get their commentaries and sermons. To them, that was the present truth. It was relevant for them. Here we are in today's society with all this craziness and religious upheaval and, ignorance. Religious ignorance. And I'm going to tell you this. One of the worst sins a man can commit that says he's saved by the grace of God is religious ignorance.
Yeah.
Willful ignorance.
Yeah.
And God speaks of that. The present truth. It's always been. Always has been. The eternal, inerrant, infallible Word of Almighty God. And you need to understand that. At thy word. The word of our blessed Lord. I'm going to run over the chair here. Our blessed Lord spoke these words. And here we are. 2019. Almost the end of the year. And these words are still wonderful. And lovely. And that's what Peter said. At thy word. I want us to know that God saves us. By His eternal decree, by His wonderful grace and merciful kindness, He saved us. He drew us out of the world of sin that had us bound for eternal hell. And what did He do? By His blessed Spirit, by the truth of the gospel, He saved us. And we need to understand that. And we need the Word of God. We need that truth. It's good to recall how God leads us into truth. We have seen it here in verse 3. Here in one of the ships which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and he talked to people. Today he met here. You're going to have three preachers. Now thank God that the Lord led you to let me preach this message. And that it'll be relevant to you. That'll bless your heart and soul. Build you up in the holy faith. How's He lead us? Through chosen men. With the ministry of preaching and teaching the Word of God. We have preachers. We have teachers. And look back in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. What was they wanting him to do? Why did you come here today? I pray it was to hear the word of God. When you put the emphasis on anything but hearing the word of God, then you have the wrong motive. Then you deny yourselves the blessing.
Right.
How does the word of God come to us? Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? You know the whole Bible is a book of doctrine.
Yeah.
The word doctrine means teaching.
Yeah.
And the word of God teaches us. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's the master teacher. What did Jesus say to those apostles? I'll send you another comforter. He will guide you and lead you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but he will speak of God and show you things to come. Understand that. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Then they are weaned from the milk. And I know people that have been saved for years, and they're still babes in Christ. I'll say this in a physical sense. And then you say, that's sad. My son works with people that are physically handicapped. And right now, he's full-time with a person. He's, what, 39 now, had his birthday. They said he wouldn't live but a few months. My son picks him up, encourages him to the shower, and showers him, dresses him. He can't walk. He can't talk. You know what? He feeds him. He can't feed himself. He feeds him a bottle with protein in it. He takes that bottle when he's hungry and baby food. He feeds him. He's just like a little baby. That's sad. And he can react some, but not much. Why am I telling you this? I have seen down through my ministry so many people that spiritually are like that person. Well, it was hurtful to me. I went to pastor a church in my past, and every Sunday night, the men would get together, and we would have 45 minutes of prayer time. And I'd known that church for years, and this one man was a member there. All the time I knew that church up until I became the pastor. Well, so we all got together. Woman was having her prayer, and I would call on somebody to pray, and we'd just pray for 45 minutes, one man after the other. And I said to him, brother, would you lead us in prayer? And he goes like this. I don't pray. And you know what was the sad thing about that? As I pastored him for several years, I found out something about that man. He doesn't pray. If you're here, I'm not talking about public prayer. I'm talking about do you pray.
Right.
Every one of us in here saved by the grace of God can pray. I saw in his family, in his life, the results of a man that had been saved for like 35 or 40 years and would make the statement, I don't pray. See what I'm saying? Milk of the Word. Can't get past the milk. Run from the milk, run from the breast. Look at this. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. That's how the Word of God comes to us. Over and over and over again. A man one time was a member of the church I pastored. He said to me, did you ever notice what you do? I said, I don't notice. I said, when I get in the pulpit, my wife has to tell me what I did when I get out. I said, I'm not too smart. What did I do? He said, you repeat yourself too often, too much. He said, you think we're children? And I said, say what? Listen what I did. I'm meeting. I said, you tell me five things that I repeated over and over and over again. Boy, he just rattled them off. One, two, three, four, five. He said, right there, wherever you are. I said, works, doesn't it? You just proved my point. That's what the Lord's saying here in this scripture. There are four things to take note of here in our scripture that will bless our hearts, encourage our souls, and give us the courage and the wherewithal to continue on day by day. Without being that a lot of Baptists are today, discouraged and defeated. Look in verse 5 of our text. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and I've taken nothing. You know, Peter and those men with him are fishermen. You know, I've heard this preached on many times. And it's always how Peter got backslidden and went fishing. Does anybody even have a secular job? What do you do, brother?
Take support.
Every day? What are you going to do next week?
Take support.
Do you know anything about it?
A little bit.
See? They were fishermen. And they were going fishing. That's what they knew to do. You can think whatever they were backslidden, they were discouraged and got away from them. You think whatever you want to, but I do know they were fishermen. And they went fishing in Texas as they are.
Yeah.
You read the Bible, Peter was a fisherman.
Right.
They fished all night and caught nothing. So what am I saying? Did you ever feel like you're putting forth a fruitless effort that's going no place and gaining nothing? Sometimes we say, but boy, that was a waste of effort. They were diligent in their chosen occupation. Must be blessed. The Lord in order for it to be fruitful. But they came up empty and defeated in their purpose to catch fish. So what were they doing when Jesus came on the scene? They fished all night. They brought their ships into shore. They pulled out their bed, and they had that menial task of cleaning up their boat and cleaning up their nets. Fruitless effort, seem to me. You know, in our personal lives, we do the same thing. They taught me on the part of giving up, if they were like me and you. But you know something? They acknowledged their failure. I like to fish. I love to fish. I go fishing. I don't catch nothing. Anybody here fish? You go fishing, you don't catch nothing. You know what?
I'm a catcher. I mean, I'm a fisher, not a catcher.
No. You come home, the wife says, what'd you catch? Oh, they weren't biting today at all.
Yeah.
See, excuse. He didn't use no excuse. He said, we fished all night, but you haven't done anything, Lord. They acknowledge their failure. No excuses on their part. What am I saying? Do we need to excuse ourselves before God and before others for our failures? And let's be honest. There are some things we can't accomplish. One of those things is you can't make the fish get in the net. One thing, too, they've got these fish finders. Some of you probably got a fish finder. How come you don't always catch me?
Yes.
See, you can find the fish, but you can't always get them in the net. They're not honest. They said, Lord, we were failure. We depend on the Lord. Acknowledge our failures. You know, how do you look at your victories and defeats? We rejoice in our victories and get all worn down and listless in our defeats. But life is mountains and valleys. Valleys and hills. And we all go through those. Did you know something? I was raised up way up in the hills of eastern Kentucky. And I know some of you have been there probably. And you know you can't be in a valley without there's a hill on each side of you. So if you go anything, anywhere in eastern Kentucky, and you get out of the valley, you're going to have to go to the mountaintop. And there's still a valley down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, when you get to the top, either way you go, you're going to go back in the valley. Did you know that's the way life is?
Amen.
Where would we be apart from the trials and tribulations? God uses those to strengthen us. Defeat should incite us to greater faith in God and His Word. What is God doing here? He comes on the scene, they're out there cleaning the net. Did you know when you have a defeat, God, He's got a greater blessing for you if you wait for it and look for it. Let me tell you a story. Several years ago, I realized that God was finished with me in the church I pastored. Well, I'd asked some pastors to pray with me about what the Lord should have me do. I mean, several pastors. And maybe even Brother Ops was praying with me about what the Lord would have me do. In the midst of all that, I got a call from a church. They wanted me to come and preach for them on a Sunday. And on Sunday afternoon, they were going to sit down and question me on my doctrine and beliefs and practices and everything. If you've ever done that, you know what I'm saying. Well, we get there and get up on Sunday morning and preach, and they probably had 50, 60 people in the service. It's nice. Well, I finished my sermon. Let me go to Fellowship Hall and they have this nice dinner. People treated us royally. And there was a nice big parsonage right on the grounds. And the ladies took me and thumb up and they said, this is where you'll be living. If you want new carpet here, if you want the walls painted or new drapes or whatever you want, you just tell us. And we'll fix it before you move. We would like to have you as our pastor. I mean, it was said they wanted me as their pastor. They voted unanimously when they called me to have me come and preach and talk to them. With the idea they wanted us for their pastor. Well, we finished up lunch and looked at the parsonage, and then they set me down and talked to me for I don't know how long. Then we went back and I preached the second sermon. And I said, the question has been asked, how will I know if this is where the Lord wants me? You know what my answer was? You pray for the Lord's will, and you only do what God would have you to do. If God would have you to call me as your pastor, I'll pray with you. If the vote is unanimous, not time. That's the only way I'll come. If you pray about it, it's the Lord's will. Well, they said, when I started to leave and come back home, one of the deacons come around, he said, brother, we're going to have a business meeting after you leave. I'll call you either tonight or in the morning and let you know how the vote goes. Well, Sunday evening came, Sunday night came, Wednesday morning came, or Monday morning came, Monday night came, Tuesday morning came, Tuesday night came, and come up Wednesday. And he called. Church appointed him to call me. Wouldn't this be discouraging? He said, brother, he had tears in his voice. He said, I didn't want to call you. He said, it seemed like all of us wanted you'd be our pastor. And I said, well, did you pray about it? He said, we did. He said, in our way of practice, what we have is that you have to get more than 60% of the vote. And you didn't even get 60% of the vote. I said, amen to that. He said, you don't mind? I said, I'm tickled to death. I don't want to know what the Lord don't want me. Now, is this a victory? In God's divine providence, they wanted me as their pastor. They told me they wanted me as their pastor. They were tickled to have me as their pastor, but when it came time to vote, they voted no, many of them. And so I get another call. And the pastor says, I think you're joking. He said, would you pray about something? I said, yeah. What is it? He said, would you pray about coming helping us with the mission work? Only thing you're going to have is a building. You won't have hardly any members. I said, yeah, I'll pray about that. Then I called him back. About 2 weeks later, I said, "Are y'all ready for me to come be your missionary?" He said, "Are you kidding me? You pulling my leg?" I said, "No, I prayed about that. That's where God wants me." Folks, that was a victory to me.
Amen.
I went, and the first Sunday morning I preached in that mission work. They had a nice building about their size. And they closed it up, disbanded. And I went in there. See, we had two people that was in Florida that wanted to work there. And we had a woman and one, three kids was there. And another woman and one man. That's all we had. In the church that I left, we had more Sunday school teachers. We had people in attendance. Did you know that was the greatest ministry I ever had? Lord bless you.
Amen.
I'd like to tell you that we worked hard and advertised a bunch and had 150 people when I left there now. But I'll tell you what we did do. We reached out to people. We went door to door. We started in a local post office sending out a message once a month. We went to the second post office and the third post office and the fourth post office and the fifth post office. We had six post offices when we got to our max that was sending out those papers, our printing ministry, sending out the Word of God. One day this man comes by and introduced himself and said, "I need to talk to you." I said, "About what?" He said, "I'm starting a new radio station and nobody will be on my radio station." He said, "Preacher, would you be willing if I would help you, what was it, $35 a month to be on his station?" So we did.
Amen.
Then he started another radio station and we were on that radio station. Then he started a television station, and we was on that station. When we finished with that ministry before we had to leave, we were reaching over half of the state with the Word of God.
Yeah.
So listen. Whatever he says to you, do it.
Yes.
God lays it on your heart. I don't know if, you know, if a small group can do that. We did. You know why? There's two scriptures that says this, and some people think it's bread and water. Remember Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What does he say in verse 13? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." What was it Peter said? The Lord says, "Go let your nets down for a drop." Hymenaeus was moving and he says, "Lord, whatever you say unto me, that I will do." And that he did. He went out and let down his net. His faith was restored. And just that simple spoken command, "Peter, you fished all night. All I want you to do now is go fishing." But I've got my nets cleaned up. Got my boat cleaned up. Can't slept all night. I need some rest. And you want me to go out and dirty up those nets again? It's the same lake, same nets, same boat. But it's a different message. The Lord didn't tell him to go fishing the first time. Peter said, "We're going fishing." But the Lord says, "No, you go fishing." And Peter went fishing.
Yeah.
What is it the Lord says that a church is to do? Mark 16:15, very simple. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power from the Holy Ghost that come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me," where? Start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost. Every church should have a vision of ministering the Word of God. Jesus said, "Go catch some fish. Launch out into the deep. Let down your net. There's going to be a drought of fish. You're going to have results. And he surely gives the results according to his sovereign plan and purpose by his divine providence. How much is a draught of fish? They said his net broke. Anybody know how much a draught of fish is? I don't, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You go over to John, the 19th chapter, and they cast their nets, and they drew their nets, and the other ships come and help them come in. And he said, Lord, I caught 154 great fish. I never have those results. You know, I can't look at a church over yonder somewhere that's got 150 people. If they're doing it right, preaching the gospel, baptizing the converts, and teaching them, that's great. Mm-hmm. Amen. But what results does the Lord give me? Mm-hmm. What is the blessing that God gives me? I thought this man was an Armenian preacher down in the community. He was manager of a grocery store. One day I said to him, I said, now, Kenny, can I ask you something? He said, yeah. I said, do you believe in a commission? Oh, yeah. I said, okay. What if the Lord told you to go to a certain such a city and preach for 25 years till you died, and you wouldn't have one convert, what would you do? He smiled and he said, preacher, I'd go to that city and I'd preach. God didn't tell me to bring results. God told me to preach, and that's what I do. That's what we do. What God says. Listen. Faith is not futility. Faith is taking hold of the Word of God and doing it. What did he say? Lord, if you tell me to do this, I will do it. And you know what? Just keep on doing it. Now, you know, if I could ever get the perfect sermon, I'd get everybody saved, and I'd quit. Hmm. But that's foolishness to think I can.
Amen.
It's foolishness to say, like some of these preachers, I'm going to reach the world. How are you going to reach the world? That's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. There's people in this world, thousands up on top of thousands, have no communication ways of getting the word from you, except you go there and stand and preach to them personally. See what I'm saying? We should have a world vision, but we have to do it. Like he's catching fish. How do you catch fish? One fish at a time, unless you do it like my dad used to do. He'd catch a whole bunch at a time. I'm not going to tell you how, but he did. He told the game warden, my kids have to eat. Okay, that's all right then. But when my kids are starved to death. See, God blesses a continual ministry of the Word of God. And let me give you one experience. I've gone a little bit over. I'll beg your pardon for that. But one time I went out of work. I got a job with the gas company where they drill gas and oil wells in the oil fields. And what I did, I didn't have a job. I'd go in every morning if they needed laboring. They'd say, you go and you go and you go and you go. If they needed four, if you were first in the line, they'd take those four. If they needed ten, first ten. Rest of them went home. And those men that worked in those oil fields were the meanest, hateless, most vulgar people you'd ever meet in life. You can't imagine in your protected life what those men was like. And I worked with them day unto day unto day. And they do everything they could to discourage me. I mean, they tell the worst, filthiest, ungodliest jokes and carry on and talk about things that, I mean, the devil wouldn't even hear it on the blush. So bad. But what I would do, we had 30 minutes for lunch break. So I would pack my lunch, and I'd take my lunch and take my testament, and I'd go out maybe 30, 40 yards from where they was at, I'll turn on. And there's a man there named Smitty Vigil, rough-looking guy. He was the worst of them all. And I'd sit there and read and eat and pray. I prayed for those men. Amen. You know, I had an opportunity to get a job full time, and I took it. And then I moved away to work in the church on where I lived. I hadn't seen that man for several years, maybe 10 or 15 years. And my dad was in the hospital dying of cancer. And one day Thelma said, could you take me over to town? We was at the hospital with Dad. I need to pick up some things that she needed. We went over to this store. And I'm telling you, it's farther from here to the back of this building, the front, whichever. I looked, and here comes this man toward me. I mean, you know how big men walk. Here he comes. And I said, Thelma, that's Smitty. I'm going to wait here. He's going to tell me he got saved. Mm-hmm. She said, what makes you think he's going to tell you he's got saved? That Thelma, he's smiling. He never smiled in his life. He had nothing to smile about. That's the truth. He'd come up, that big smile on his face, and grab me and hug me real tight, big tears coming down his face. He said, I got to tell you. I said, let me tell you something first. He said, what is it? I said, you're my brother. You got saved, didn't you? He said, yes, I did. Mm-hmm. See, it's not hopeless. Mm-hmm. You can't see what God is doing with your words. God, you can't see what God's going to do with your testimony.
Right.
You can't ask God what Divine Father is, has in store when you're working and laboring in the church and teaching and preaching and getting the word out and being faithful to Him. He gets the results. We give the effort. We give the labor. He chose us for that. And it works. And you know, that's not the end of that story. Next day, I was sitting there in the waiting room. And here comes Smitty in and sat down. He said, I've been praying for your dad. I want to come and have prayer with him, be a blessing. I guess till my dad died and got out of the hospital, he was there just about every day. Every day. There's how many people out there in this world that are like that? You don't know them. You gave them the word. God used the word. By the way, I'm not called to death. Who can get up here and give me a dissertation on what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch after he was saved and baptized? Anybody here going to do that? You preachers ready for that? But heaven will reveal what God done with him. Yeah. Heaven's going to reveal the results of what we do. It's not in vain. It's not useless. And listen, God is saving the same way he ever did. Don't ever stand in the pulpit and say that God's not saving like he used to. He saves by his grace, his chosen people, wherever they are. And you know, I can tell you, in doing that, I'll give you the date when the Lord's going to come back now. And then I'll sit down and give it back over to your pastor and I'll have to leave. You know when the Lord's coming back? When he finishes his ingathering, I don't know which one it's going to be, but that last one's going to be gathered in. The harvest is reaped and gleaned, and he'll come. What do we do? What does that song say? We'll work till Jesus come. Then we'll all be gathered home. Then we'll see all the untold millions that John saw. That were saved by the gospel of the saving grace of God through the Jesus that died to save his elect people. God, we thank you for the opportunity. Pray you bless the remainder of the service. Bless this church, Lord. We love this people. They're special to us. And may they continue to labor and to work and to give out so that one day they can glean. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the opportunity.